In August of 2014, a 911 call was made in Bladen County, North Carolina.
He's a black male subject.
Hanging from a sling.
That black male was 17-year-old Lennon Lacey. Authorities told his mom, Claudia, he killed himself. After a review, the FBI agreed. But the area had a history of young black men found hanging. His friends and family didn't believe he'd taken his life. His mom spent much of hers trying to get that decision reversed.
Think about it as if it was your son or your daughter. If you knew in your heart and in your mind that someone took your child's life, and everything that you've done that's humanly possible, they've taken it and twisted it and turned it, how far would you go to get to the truth?
And that is the focus of the documentary Always in Season, which premieres on PBS's Independent Lens tonight and tells the story of Lennon Lacey's death, but also widens that lens to the history of lynching. Director, co-writer Jacqueline Olive joins us now from the NPR West Studios in Culver City, California. Jackie, welcome.
Thank you, Robin.
And the first thing I have to mention is you are African-American. I can't imagine sitting with some of the despicable footage of lynchings that you must have been going over and over in edit rooms. I mean, much of this is crushing.
It's tough. As a black mother, my son was Lennon's age when I learned about his death. My son was also 17. And so as a black mother, I'd been having conversations with him that were very general about protecting himself and about racism and racial violence. I could imagine that those were the same conversations that Claudia had with Lennon. And in fact, when we met, she talked about that, about how they had spoken about Trayvon Martin's death and cautioning Lennon about wearing hoodies. And so in all of those ways, I could relate to the pain that Claudia must be feeling. I could imagine it. And then there were the depths that I could not imagine. I couldn't imagine what it must be like to suspect that your child might have been lynched. And so with those questions, and also having spent 4 years filming in communities where people were looking at historical lynchings, looking at how they can memorialize the victims and what they can do for justice and repair, I went to Bladenboro and was really struck by the similarities between the communities where I'd been filming and what was going on there, the nightmare that Claudia and other people were facing.
Well, so you'd already been filming things that we see. Like, for instance, there are reenactments of a terrifying lynching in this area, the 1946 Moores Ford lynching. Two black couples at Moores Ford Bridge in Georgia in 1946 pulled out of their cars by a white mob, Ku Klux Klan mob. I mean, it's just horrific. There are reenactments of this. In fact, we hear from one of the reenactors, a black woman, who is sort of re-traumatized as she reenacts something that's in the area's history.
It makes me feel empowered, because I'm helping to hopefully bring some closure to what happened with these families.
And we also meet in your film the daughter of a Klansman who was taken to a lynching as a child.
It was hard to believe that that was really my dad and his friends that I knew that ate fish and hush puppies at the house. But it was. It was the same people.
Olivia Taylor was she was new to the reenactment and had come to consult about the costumes that they were using of the Klansmen. And because her father was one of the leaders of the Klan in Stone Mountain, Georgia, she understood what their authentic dress should look like. And as she worked with them, she decided for the first time in her life to act and to play one of the roles in the reenactment.
But it's so fascinating because you have these reenactors and their story of, you know, what to some might be ancient history. You know, you show people debating, not just white townspeople, but black as well, saying, why are we doing this reenacting? Why are we, you know, bringing this up again? Let history rest. And meantime, you have Claudia Lacey saying, it's not history. I think it happened to my son.
That's right. And Claudia has always, from the very beginning, wanted answers, whether or not Lennon committed suicide or whether or not he was lynched. She wanted to know, and she didn't want just a cursory investigation, but she wanted people to give her evidence. And she's never felt like the officials showed up for that case, for Lennon's death, in an appropriate way, given the history of lynching in this country. This film is really about the lessons that we miss when there's cover-up and there's silence and denial around this history. And it's also about how this violence has evolved today. And so it's really, for me, very clearly played out in Bladenboro.
Well, for you, very clearly. And frankly, as someone who's watched the film, it seems very clear. This young man went off to play a football game. That night, he had a lot going for him. And the next day, he shows up hanging from a swing set. We hear from a mortician who says there were bruises on his arms. He fought someone off. Yet we hear from white officials, FBI, that, no, we've investigated and it's a suicide. And then suddenly there's another storyline, another thread emerges, which is that Lennon Lacy, who's 17 and black, is dating the 32-year-old white mother of three who lived just a few yards from Lennon's home in a hard scrabble trailer with a white couple who seemed pretty shaky and shady. I mean, they were called drug dealers. We see home video of them encouraging boys to fight. It's sort of like a fight club that they're running. And they hated that Lennon was dating this white woman, Michelle, who was living with them. After he's found hanged, they disappear. The trailer, completely gone. The implication is they did this.
Sure. Well, that aspect of it, and we looked at for a while, I was weighing whether or not to take a more investigative reporting approach, a more whodunit approach. And it was kind of a rabbit hole that I was measuring, like, how far do I go down?
Right.
But what I realized is that what's really important to convey, short of having an answer, which I never found about exactly what happened to Lennon, although there's lots of information that came up out of the community.
Well, for instance, when Lennon was found hanging, he was wearing completely different shoes than when he left the house that night. They weren't his. They were two sizes too small.
That's right. Claudia's always insisted that that's important evidence that should be considered didn't feel like it was adequately addressed.
So we're left with this question and this, you know, it seems like thoughtful people on both sides, you know, people who say this is a mother who just didn't want to see that her black son was too young to be dating a 32-year-old white and somewhat hard woman, and they broke up, and that's what broke his heart. And others saying it's clearly evidence of a lynching, a modern-day lynching. And in fact, you have activists who point out that there are other, quote-unquote, suicides of young black men that their families also don't think were suicides.
That's one of the parallels between the past and the present. Historically, less than 1% of the nearly 5,000 documented cases of lynchings ever went to trial for murder. And when investigators, historically and currently, when they don't appropriately investigate these cases, then the community historically and currently in Bladenboro are left with rumors, speculations, and stories. And all of that information, all of the speculation about Dewey Sykes and Carla Hudson.
Those were the white neighbors living in the trailer.
Yes. And Michelle and all those stories, that will start to dissipate over generations.
And do you know, Jacqueline Olive, if the FBI, if the town officials ever sought out Dewey and Carla and Michelle, the white people in the trailer next door?
I don't know if they did. I reached out to the chief of police, the medical examiner's office, the coroner, the district attorney, and other officials, and none of them would talk. We ultimately submitted a FOIA request to the FBI and received a 10-page redacted summary that didn't really give us enough details to know who they talked to and what specifically they based their decision on.
Well, I have to say, I was so struck by the opening image of your film. It's a tight shot of a clothespin, and then we see a laundry line, an image to replace maybe the others that we're going to see. But we know immediately this is about a mother's love, you know, a mother hanging her laundry.
Absolutely. And how do you live with this? And how not just does Claudia live with this, but how do communities move forward is really, I think, the broader question. And it's something that is equally as important as finding out absolutely what happened to Lennon.
Jacqueline Olive, director of the documentary Always in Season about the death of Lennon Lacy. His family feels it was a lynching. It was ruled a suicide. And the history of lynching. It airs on PBS stations tonight. For more, go to hearandnow.org. Jackie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin, for having me.